Good morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Roy Carter of the New Life Christian Fellowship Church, located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street, here in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. This truly is a day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice, and we are glad, we're grateful, we're thankful in it. God has brought us to today, and we rejoice. God has brought us through snow and through ice and rain and bad weather, and God has kept us, and we take the time to tell him thank you. We are in prayer for those of you that are in parts of our country where things are not so good, things are bad. We're praying for you. We are sending our help. We are just concerned, and we are beseeching God on your behalf. We just thank God for today. We are truly grateful for today. God allows us to come that we might share with you from his word, that it might encourage us, that it might lead us, that it might spur us on to victorious living in him. And so we come to you this morning. Before we go to the word of God, we just want to remind you to practice our health initiatives, those things that our health professionals are encouraging us to do, the washing of our hands, sanitizing, wearing of a mask. Continue to practice your social distancing. Let's not get weary in doing these things, but let's continue to do them that we might come out on the winning side. I believe that the day will come when the pandemic will be behind us, but we've got to get through until then. We thank you, each and every one of you that continue to give your support financially to New Life Christian Fellowship. Many of you are using our Givelify app, and some of you have chosen to go on our website, nlracine.org, and at the bottom you see there the donate button, and you click on it and give. We have received some correspondence through the snail mail today. We just thank you for however you choose to give. We praise your name for your giving, that we might continue to carry out the work of the Lord. Now, let's go to the word of God this morning. I'm grateful for those of you that are joining with us. We're glad to see you. We are truly glad to see you. So continue to come in, continue to share with your friends, with your relatives, tag them, you know, that they too might hear this word to us from the Lord on this morning. You know, last week was Valentine's Day, and if I'm not mistaken, February is Heart Health Month, and, you know, there are all of these things about this month that push us toward the idea of love and what all love entails. And so we've talked for the last couple of weeks about love and the things of love. Today I want to continue in that same vein because I want us to have a completeness in this whole story. This morning I want to talk about intimate with God. Being intimate with God. Are you doing your part to know God? Intimate with God. Now, let me start out by saying, let me make it very, very clear. Can you hear me? I want to be very clear that when I'm talking about being intimate, I'm using the word intimacy. I am in no way talking about sexual activity. That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother day. But I'm talking about being intimate with God. To be intimate is to be closely familiar, to be upfront and personal and private, and in this case, with God. How intimate are you with God? Sadly, many people try to hide parts of themselves from God. Many people try to put on a face in front of God. Many people perpetrate, if that's the right word, one appearance. And so mankind sees one thing, but with God, we're talking this morning about intimate with God. Our scripture, familiar scripture, Psalm 27, and we're going to read the words of David here. Psalm 27, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Excuse me. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his secret tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, sprouting malicious accusations. I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I read in your hearing the entire 27 number of Psalms. Intimate with God. Now, I need to say this again because I don't want to throw somebody off. When I'm talking this morning about intimate, being intimate with God and intimacy, I am not talking about sexual activity. That's not what I'm talking about. Too many people mix those two things together. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking this morning about being up close and personal with God. You being up close and personal and familiar with God. You know, when we talk about being intimate with somebody, we're not talking about just sharing of the body, but we're talking about sharing of the heart, sharing of the emotions. It causes us to delve into not only what they say, but why they say what they say, the processes that are behind it. Ever have, you know, I talk at New Life Church all the time about boo. You know, boo, that person that we're in a relationship with or we want to be in relationship with and, you know, all of those sorts of things. Nobody, no, I shouldn't say nobody because there's some people that do. But most of us, we don't want somebody to just give us things. They bring us a gift. You know, now we like gifts. But we don't just want them to just give us gifts. We want the heart of them. We want them to talk to us. We want to get to know them in a very personal, private, and familiar way. This is what we're talking about when we talk about being intimate with God. You know, we know that God loves us. I think most of us know that. We know that he loves us. Let's look for a minute at this whole idea of the fact that God loves us. When we understand that God loves us and we receive the gifts from God, God's love is it can be defined as very giving, as in he takes care of our needs. You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, it says that this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's love. The fact that God saw we had a need to be released from sin, to be reconciled to him. So he made the way of salvation for us. That's love. He has that love that frees us all. So a scripture that, you know, I think all of us know it by heart, John 3:16, God so loved the world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, anybody that chooses to believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We're talking about the love of God. It's giving, it's free for everybody, it's inseparable. You know, you go over in Romans chapter 8, and it talks about those things, what can separate us from his love? And it lists a whole bunch of stuff that would entail everything that we go through in life. Not death, not life, not angels or demons or things present or things to come, height nor depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about that love now. I'm talking about the love. It's everlasting. In Jeremiah chapter 31, he talks about the fact that God is faithful. And the Lord appears to us, he says, in the past, and I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is all of these things. Over in 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, it talks about that love being faithful. So I think we got a handle on God's love. But remember, this morning, I'm talking about being intimate with God. God loves us. And there's no doubt about it that he loves us. He desires intimate relationship with us. He's paved the way. He set things in motion for this to happen. And my question to you is, where are you? Yeah, you. Where are you? Where are you in fulfilling your part on being intimate with God? God loves us, and he does not want a half-heartedness with us. But instead, he wants to love us mind, body, and soul. Every bit of us. And just like we put forth that effort and expect the same thing out of Boo, God expects the same thing from us. So here we have David in the 23rd number of Psalms. And David expresses some things that help us to see how David sought out to share an intimacy with God, and not just to share it, not just to have it, but to build upon it, to build upon it. The first thing that David did in working to develop his intimacy, his getting familiar with, his getting to know God up close and personal, is in verse number 4, he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I've asked from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David wanted to learn from the Lord. He knew it was important that he learn from the Lord. You know, there was a thing about wisdom. You can have wisdom, but if it's not wisdom from God, it's just foolish noise. David wanted to know about God. I want to just look at him. I just want to watch him. I just want to get to see the beauty that makes him God, that I might learn. That I might learn. I got to, you know, we like to quote Jeremiah chapter 29, where it talks about the fact that God has the plans for us. Oh, God's laid out my steps for me. But most people never take the time through the intimacy with God to even understand the steps that God lays out for them. So as a result, they fail in walking in the plans that God has laid out for them. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 points out, it says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And so we know these things, but we aren't able to take advantage of these things because we lack intimacy with God. We rely on our own wisdom and our own knowledge and our own understanding. We forget the words of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23 that points out that a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. God's wisdom. God's wisdom, which will tell me how to act and when to act, and even many times why to act. Why? As we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, as David sought to do, we come to understand Proverbs 3, verse 5, that we can't lean to our own understanding because our ways lead to destruction. But instead, we want to acknowledge him, God, in all of our ways, knowing that he then directs or makes straight our walkways, our pathways. David worked to develop intimacy with God by learning from God. Learning from God. Learning from God. David also sought to learn to become intimate with God, to get close and personal with him. By, in verse number 6, worshiping and praising him. He says, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Now, we all know, if you know David, was that phrase we say, David was a true praiser. I don't know too many folks that the Bible makes mention of that praise God like David did. You know, we read the story where he danced, and you know, we say he danced out of his clothes, just praising God that the Ark of the Covenant was now there with them. God's presence was amongst them. And David got out and just began to dance and praise God, and clothes began to fall off. He didn't care. That was not his issue. My issue is I'm worshiping and praising God. Now, there's one thing about worshiping and praising God that I love to look at David and see, and I try to adopt this into my own life. David would start out some days complaining, like, oh God, things were just going terrible in his life. But he would catch himself right in the middle of his complaining and say, oh, but God, you did this and you did that. And I remember when you delivered, and I remember when you strengthened, and I remember when. And he would stop complaining and start praising and worshiping God. Why? Because this allowed him to draw closer and become more personal or intimate with God. You know, praise is where God lives. So why wouldn't he want to praise and worship God? We forget that many times, that, you know, the scripture makes mention of the fact in Psalm 22 that God inhabits or lives in his praises. That's where he dwells. He is enthroned in the praises. So why would we not praise God? We praise him because of why somebody said, well, why praise God? So go to Psalm 107. It gives a whole bunch of reasons. We praise him because of his enduring mercy. We praise him because he delivers us from the enemy. We praise him because of his goodness. We praise him for his wonderful acts. I'm telling you, when you want to be intimate with God, just begin to praise him. Just begin to worship him. Praise him for the things that he has done. Worship him just because he is God. Learning about God and then worshiping and praising God are things that David did that he might build upon and develop his personal place with God. Intimacy. I'm talking about being intimate with God this morning. And then David found himself communicating or praying to God. He talked to God. In verse number 7, it says, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. David talked to God. When is the last time you talked to God? When is the last time you talked to him? And now, when I talk about talking to God, I give this illustration sometimes because it's so important. Can you imagine what it would be like? And this is what many of us do. And we say we're praying, we're communicating, we're talking to God. Can you imagine what it would be like if I called you on the phone? And I say, hey, good morning, how you doing? And before you could say, well, I'm doing all right, you know, I'm a little stuffy this morning, I'm a little choked up, but before you could answer me, I start talking. And I start telling you everything that I want to talk about. And I talk and I talk and I talk, and you're going, yeah, but I cut you off, and I just keep on talking. And I keep on talking. And then when I get through talking, I say, all right, it was good to talk to you. Bye. People like me, we be looking at that phone like they done lost their mind. They ain't let me say nothing. David sought to communicate, to talk with God. And to talk with God is, yeah, you want to pour out your heart. You want to share with him. You want to cry out to him. You want to beseech him about those things that you may need. But you also want to shut up and listen. When God begins to talk to you, you want to hear what he has to say to you. God's words are life. God's words are power. Remember, we talk about being intimate with him. If I'm intimate with God, he's talking to me. He's telling me things that are going to help me. Now, many folks sometimes don't want to listen to God. Because God will, there's a phrase my friend Yolanda say sometimes. She say, yeah, Pastor got me together right quick. God will get you together. Now, in getting us together, it's never out of a sense to destroy us. But God will call you out on some stuff. God will tell you, you know better and you got to do better. God will chastise you. God will rebuke you. But he'll also come back in that loving way and correct you and train you. So you got to find yourself. Yeah, you want to share with God and tell him all about your troubles, but you also want to shut up and listen and pay attention when God is talking to you. Now, sadly, what many people want to do when they the chance comes for God to talk, then they feel the need to want to defend themselves against God. No, you just be quiet and listen. And hear what God has to say to you. Hear what he has to say. Because in prayer, it dismisses the need for us to worry, and it promotes our relying upon God. Excuse me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Okay, so you telling me, God, not to worry about anything. And then he goes right to the next very step and says, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, in your asking, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So my prayer, my communication with God, it diminishes or dismisses my need to worry, and it promotes my relying on him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or even think. Prayer allows me to talk to God, but it also allows God to talk to me. Jeremiah chapter 29, before we get to that verse that talks about he knows the way for me, in verse number 12, it says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, God says, and I will listen to you. God wants to hear from you. Remember, he wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants to be up close and personal and familiar with us. And God does his part. What about you? Many times, we don't want to be up close and personal with God. Because, you know, let's go back to the boo thing. When people are up close and personal with each other, sometimes boo is the only one that see you with no makeup on. Boo is the only one that see you when you're not processed and when you're not, everything is just defined and just right. They see you walk around with your drawers on. They see you with the t-shirt with the holes in it, and it don't even matter to them because that's boo. God wants to see us in an intimate way, but we got to be willing to share with him. We got to be willing to be open to him. And many of us go lacking because we won't be intimate with God. Listening to God, it can sometimes be not so easy to do. But when I understand why I want to listen to him, I know that what he has to say for me will only help me. Then I desire to do this, that I can walk with him, talk with him, and live in a very practical way, the way he would have me to live. Doing this brings me peace. Doing this brings me joy. Doing this brings me comfort that I can't get no other place and in no other way. When we got to find ourselves, David worked to develop this intimacy with God. He sought to learn from God. He worshiped and praised God. He communicated or prayed, talked to God, and listened to God when God talked back to him. And then lastly, the thing that David did that's so very important, not to say that the others aren't, is David found himself obeying God. David found himself obeying God. David says in verse number 11, "Teach me your way, Lord. Teach me. And then lead me in the way that I should be going because of my oppressors. Lord, help me to obey you," is what David was saying. "Help me, God, to obey you. Teach me and lead me. And then I'll be obedient." God requires obedience out of us. And many times we lack because we won't be obedient. Remember, I'm talking about being intimate with God, up close and personal and familiar and private with God. Then I gotta find myself being obedient to God. You know, if you go over to 1 John, the book of 1 John, it gives a whole lot of instructions, and it clearly states that obedience to God demonstrates our love to God. If we love him, we obey him. We follow his commands. A whole lot of us want to say that we love God, but we are so far away from obeying him. That's how we prove that we love him, by obeying him. 1 John chapter 5, and go down to verse number 2, it says, "By this will they know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." They are not. They are not. Going over to chapter 2, 2 John chapter 6, and it says this is, 2 John, just one chapter, verse 6 in 2 John. It says, "This is the love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it." And then Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 21, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest or show myself to him." God desires people to be intimate with us. We got to choose to be intimate with him. Remember, just like we get annoyed, is that a good word? We get annoyed when our boo won't be intimate with us. And remember, I'm not talking about sexual. When we say, "Why won't you talk to me? Why won't you?" They just shut up and they just won't close. They just close in and won't tell me anything. And you feel left out. You understand that I'm not getting the complete them. They won't express their feelings and all of those sorts of things. God wants to be up close and personal and familiar with us. And God is going to do his part. You got to choose to do yours. You got to choose to do yours. So be like David and choose to develop that intimate relationship with God. Do the things that are necessary on your end that you might meet up with him. And just like you ain't satisfied to be in a relationship that is not up close and personal, that is not familiar, that is not beyond acquainted, neither is God. So find ourselves this morning working to develop our intimate relationship with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for life, health, and strength. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you Lord, for all that you are to us. We thank you not for just loving us, not just giving us, but desiring intimacy with us, that we can be up close and personal with you, Father. Thank you. Lord, you've loved us enough that you've sent your son Jesus that he might make the way for us, that we could be reconciled or bought back and removed out of our sinful ways and live a life that's pleasing to you. Even now, Father, forgive us. As your word says in 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins, we're here now, Father, confessing our sins. You then, God, are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, forgive us for everything that we've done that's wrong, every place we have messed up, every place we've missed the mark, the places we didn't do what we should have done. Forgive us. Wash us clean and make us whole. Pick our feet up out of the muck and mire of sin and set it on the solid rock, Jesus, that we might go forward and be who you call for us to be. Now today we ask special blessing upon all of those that are in parts of our country and around the world that have been hit by devastations. And we don't care what the devastations might be, lack of water, lack of power, cold, whatever it might be, God, step in and make the way. We understand that things are in your control and we rely on you. Father, do what we cannot do. Father, help us today that we might help those that we can help. And when it's beyond us, we got to have you. We can't make it by ourselves. Help us on our daily journey, God, as we walk and talk. Let us walk and talk with you that we might get to know you in a very real way. And then, Father, as we learn of you and as we partake of you and as your way becomes our way and as we live for you, allow us to share with others that they too might come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Keep us in your care, Father. Don't just love us, but help us to be intimate with you. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, God. Amen. You go and have a great day today. Love the Lord Jesus. Seek to be intimate with him. Do the things necessary that you might build that closeness with him, that nothing can separate you, that you might share and receive all that God has for you. God bless you. Reach out to us. Send us your prayer requests. The methods are there in the caption. You can send us your prayer request. Send us your praise report. We love to hear a testimony about what God has done because we know he never stops doing great things in our lives. Go and live in victory today. God bless you.